Moses witnesses the fall, the willing and unwilling sons in the Council of Heaven. Moses 4:1-4. Book of Moses Essay Number 60 by Book of Mormon Central Team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. After a rapid sweep across the vast panorama of the creation in the Garden of Eden in Moses 2 and 3, the scope narrows and the narrative slows to a more measured pace in Moses 4, and with good reason, for it is at this point that the purpose of creation begins to unfold. John Henry Newman summed up a lesson from the combined accounts of the creation and the fall, quote, "It were better for sun and moon to drop from heaven, for the earth to fall, and for all many millions who are upon it to die of starvation and extremest agony, so far as temporal affliction goes, than that one soul should commit one single venial sin, should tell one willful untruth, though it harm no one, or steal one poor farthing without excuse," end of quote. Thus the gravity of the innocent choice made in Eden and of moral choices we make on a daily basis outweigh in the eyes of God the entire amoral universe. Of course, the statement is not meant to drag us down into guilt, but rather to encourage us to use the gift of moral agency wisely. Stating the same truth taught by Cardinal Newman in a positive vein, President Russell M. Nelson said, quote, "Nothing is more liberating, more ennobling, or more crucial to our individual progression than is a regular daily focus on repentance," end of quote. Significantly, Satan became Satan, or more accurately, Lucifer became the devil, not simply because of he advocated a wicked, deceitful proposal in the Council of Heaven, but more fundamentally because he refused to repent while the prospect of repentance was still open to him. A close look at the crucial events in the Council in Heaven. In the uniquely informative account of Moses 4:1-4, the story of the two sons who appeared before the council is told in remarkable brevity. "And I, the Lord God, spake unto Moses, saying, That Satan whom thou hast commanded in the name of mine only begotten is the same which was from the beginning. And he came before me, saying, Behold, here am I, send me. I will be thy son, and I will redeem from the fall mankind, that one soul shall not be lost. And surely I will do it. Wherefore, give me thine honor. But behold, my beloved son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever. Wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man, which I, the Lord God, had given him, and also that I should give unto him mine own power, by the power of mine only begotten I caused that he should be cast down. And he became Satan, even the devil, the father of all lies, to deceive and to blind men, and to lead them captive at his will, even as many as would not hearken unto my voice." End of quote. Let's look carefully at the account, phrase by phrase. That Satan whom thou hast commanded. Satan is a word of Hebrew origin, meaning an accuser or adversary. The qualifier, whom thou hast commanded, refers to Moses 1:21, where Moses had commanded Satan, in the name of my own only begotten, to depart. Here am I, send me. Draper et al. Note that this statement carries the intrinsic claim that the speaker is in the right path, ready to do the Lord's bidding. Likewise, Arbach observes that the phrase is not meant to indicate the actual place where Abraham is, but a moral position in respect to God, who is called to him. Here I am, awaiting thy command. Indeed, it is significant that the Midrash Rabbah, this phrase, is associated with the sure confirmation of Abraham's priesthood and kingship. Quote, "Now Abraham said, Here am I, ready for priesthood, ready for kingship, and he attained priesthood and kingship. He attained priesthood, as it says, The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Kingship, thou art a mighty prince among us," Genesis 23:5. The fact that Satan's intentions were already in direct opposition to God's plan falsifies his claim of moral readiness, substantiating the scriptural assertion that the devil is a liar from the beginning. Since Jesus Christ was already known by all to be God's beloved and chosen from the beginning, the fact that Satan sought to answer the call was in itself a direct challenge to the Father. Brent Topp correctly concludes that, quote, "The Father's question, whom shall I send, was a call for our commitment and common consent, rather than a request for resumes," end of quote. Satan's self-centeredness is fittingly reflected in the wording of his proposal. With passionate, rapid-fire delivery, he narcissistically repeats the term I and me 6 times in the short span of half a verse. I will be thy son. Compare Moses 1:19, where in a rage, Satan actually claimed the role he was here denied. I will redeem. Whatever Satan exactly meant by his proposal to become the redeemer of all mankind, it was doubtless very different from what the Savior offered. Elder Spencer J. Conde commented, quote, "Because the devil's plan required no atonement for sin, he could save his own satanic skin from any suffering." End of quote. All mankind, that one soul shall not be lost. Joseph Smith summarized the situation. The contention in heaven was, Jesus said that there would be certain souls that would not be saved, and the devil said he could save them all, and laid his plans before the Grand Council, who gave their vote in favor of Jesus Christ. So the devil rose up in rebellion against God and was cast down with all who put up their heads for him. End of quote. A retrospective summary of the same discourse clarifies that the only ones that Jesus said he could not save in one of the three kingdoms of glory were those who sinned against the Holy Ghost, in other words, the sons of perdition. Brigham Young affirmed, quote, "None are condemned except those who have the privilege of receiving the words of eternal life and refuse to receive them. God will save all who are determined to be saved." End of quote. Ironically, Satan, the one who proposed a plan whereby no soul would be lost, became himself a soul that Jesus could not save. To him was given the name Perdition, Lost One. Surely I will do it. Satan seems merely not to be claiming that he will surely redeem all mankind, but also that he can, alone can do it, and even more arrogantly, that he can do it alone. My beloved. The phrase, my beloved, is repeated twice in the verse, emphasizing the deep and personal regard of the Father for his Son. Contrast this with the distancing third-person reference that introduces the adversary in verse 1. That's Satan. Father, thy will be done. Abraham 3:27 makes it clear that it was actually Jesus Christ who was the first to answer the Father's request. In stark contrast to Satan's speech, the Savior never once mentions the words, I or me, being wholly focused on the will and glory of the Father. Glory be thine forever. Jesus later contrasted his position to the one adopted by Satan, quote, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." End of quote. Lucifer and Jehovah as the willing and unwilling sons. Satan's duplicitous assertion of his moral readiness to fulfill the Father's assignment, in contrast to the sincere proposition of Christ, seemed to parallel the words of the two sons in Matthew 21:29 and 30, as first noted in the insightful analysis of John W. Welch. To understand why this may be the case, note that the term go in the King James Version of the Bible, verse 30, is not in the Greek text but is entirely conjectural on the part of the translators. What if, instead of go, one supplied the words, here am I, which would have conveyed, thus rendered, the spirit of Lucifer's response in Moses 4:1. Such a claim of moral readiness to do the Lord's will would not only in this case be a good fit to the situation, but also would be consistent with both the original manuscripts of Moses 4:1 and also the corresponding Hebrew of Abraham's response in Genesis 22:1, as we'll now explain. Observe that Satan, that in Moses 4:1, both the OT1 and OT2 Joseph Smith translation manuscripts have Satan saying, "Behold I," rather than "Behold, here am I," as rendered in later editions. Later, likewise, in striking concordance with Joseph Smith's wording, Arbach asserts that the Hebrew word behind Abraham's similar reply to God, King James Version Genesis 22:1, "Here I am," Hebrew, "Hineni," ought to be translated literally as, "Behold me," or as one might render it less awkwardly in French, "Me voici." In light of all this, a reading for Matthew 21:29 and 30 consistent with this line of thinking might be proposed. He answered and said, "It is not my will," but afterward he felt sorry, regretted, or perhaps felt compassion, and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, "Here am I, Lord," and went not. Satan rebels and is cast down. Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man. Doctrine and Covenants 29:36 underscores the irony of Satan's efforts to destroy man's agency by pointing out that it was because of their agency that many of the hosts of heaven were permitted to follow him in rebellion. That I should give him mine own power. Doctrine and Covenants 29:36 specifically equates the power mentioned here with the honor craved by Satan in Moses 4:1. By the power of mine only begotten. Moses had seen the power of the only begotten used in a similar way when, in his name, he commanded Satan to depart. Moses 1:21. I caused that he should be cast down. Lehi records that an angel of God had fallen from heaven, wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. 2 Nephi 2:17. Although Moses 4:6 and Abraham 3:28 say only that many followed Satan, Doctrine and Covenants 29:35, compare Revelation 12:4, is more specific. The Lord, speaking of Satan's rebellion, said that it was a third part of the hosts of heaven that he turned away from me because of their agency, end of quote. Of course, the mention of a third part is meant to signal a rough qualitative division, not a precise mathematical calculation. It is possible that the fraction did not come close to approaching 33 1/3%. Father of all lies, to deceive and blind men, and to leave them captive at his will, even as many as would not hearken unto my voice. This is an announcement of plot for what will follow in the account of the fall. Satan will lie to Eve in order to deceive her. Her eyes will not suddenly be opened with the wisdom he promised, but rather she will become blind to her true situation, and she and Adam will be figuratively led captive in a vain attempt to hide their transgression. All this because they did not hearken to the voice of the Lord.